it's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello. You are tuned in to the Second Amendment Radio Show. We have a caller, George in Texas. Welcome to 2A Radio.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing well, George.
I was sitting there listening about your little monologue about post-Katrina. Well, I'd like to amp that up a notch. I come from Florida, and I watch this way too often. It is Child Protective Services will come to the door, and the parent or the parents would not let them in or talk to the kids like, do you have a warrant, and we're not going to make any statements. Well, they'll come back with a couple police officers kicking the door and grab the kids without a warrant. In that situation, would you be, when the police and the state are acting in an unlawful capacity, do we have a right to defend ourselves and protect our kids, knowing that they're going to go into a dangerous situation in the foster home, possibly might be killed and raped? Do we have that right to defend ourselves against unlawful incursions?
Well, of course you do, George. Here's the thing. There is what's known as exigent circumstances. Do exigent circumstances exist when child care, when these child protective services come up? They speak to the parents don't let them in, they have no warrant. And from there, they leave and go get the police. Did the child protective services people, did those representatives see something that would include exigent circumstances for the police to be able to just bust in the door without a warrant? If they did, then yeah, the police can do it. If they did not, and the police are not able to articulate that, if they bust in to do that, that is illegal entry. And now we're in a really, really big stink. Do we allow the police to carry on and do that? Or do we defend ourselves and potentially shoot these officers who are coming in as Nazi SS thugs? If we do, now we're in a really big stink. So the question is, what's the lesser of two evils? Do you have a right to self-defense? Yes. Do you have a right to self-defense against tyranny, against illegal acts, regardless of who's carrying these illegal acts out? Well, yes, you do.
Well, it's just they grab kids without extradition circumstances. I mean, could they try the same thing with me? When I lived in Florida, I came out and I wouldn't give a statement, wouldn't let them in the house, but I let them see my kids. That there's no bruises, they're not malnourished, and then I go back in the house. And I tell them I won't make any statements, won't let them in the door. The only thing that saved me from them come grab my kids and there being a massacre was a whole bunch of people coming converging on the situation, asking questions like, where's your warrant? What business you have here? This is a good family. They're good parents. That's the only thing that saved me.
Well, good. And that's exactly what should happen. Your neighbors should bind together. Here's the thing. If you have Child Protective Services come and they make any sort of veiled threats or tell you, we're coming back with the police, that is the time right then and there. You need to call your attorney or you need to get your other neighbors around and say, look, something's... You need to... If you're given an opportunity for time, well, then we're going to call the police and we're going to tell them the story and they're going to come in here and help us take the kids. You've got the amount of time from the moment it leaves their lips until the police actually arrive to actually do something. Calling an attorney is a great way to start. And calling Child Protective Services might be the right thing. Look, you just had representatives here threaten to have the police come in and threaten to have the police kick in my door and take my kids without a warrant. And I need you to A, follow the law, and B, call these people and call the police department to get this straightened out. Because there is no problem, there are no exigent circumstances, and the police will not have a warrant if they come back because there is nothing to allow them to legally be able to get a warrant. There's not any information to do that. There's no probable cause. So I need you to handle this right now. I am not going to tolerate any sort of illegal tyranny and people busting in my doors and stealing my family members. That's tyranny. It's breaking and entering. It's kidnapping. All of these felonies. And I will defend myself if I have to from your illegal acts. So you need to get on the phone and start making some phone calls if that happens. If you decide to defend yourself and defend your family, you're in a legal right. However, it's going to take you a very long, most likely expensive road to fight that, unless you can get somebody like, say, the ACLU to pick up the bill.
Well, I just figure it's like this hope coercive force would be the last thing I have to do.
Well, yeah, you don't want to look forward to having something like this. I got to tell you, my stepson, when I used to be married, my stepson went to school, and one of his teachers saw that he had a bruise on his forehead. Well, he had a bruise on his forehead because he was running in the backyard, and he tripped, and he bonked his head on a low branch on a tree. She called Child Protective Services. My wife at the time was at home. I was 65 miles away at work. And she had to deal with this, and they were very, very nosy because we had three young kids in the house at the moment as well. So she was very, very nervous about this. I had to make phone calls later and say, look, these veiled threats of your people coming in here, having absolutely no idea what they're talking about, are absolutely, absolutely unacceptable. George, I appreciate your call. This was a good discussion, and I'm sorry for what you had to experience, but I'm glad we were able to get it out on the air again. Thanks very much for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, folks, stay tuned. We've got more coming at you right after this break. You're tuned in with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
After doing the legal research, I've determined I don't have any federal or state income tax liability. But if you're like me, knowing the facts and knowing what to do about them are two different things. That's why I'm so glad my husband and I found nontaxpayer.org. We've achieved our dream of living happily as non-taxpayers. It's nice to do what's right and have peace of mind.
Nontaxpayer.org does not provide services to taxpayers.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, and welcome back from the break, everyone. A fellow by the name of Brian Puckett, who wrote a memorandum on arms and freedom. I like to refer to it as, "We will not disarm." So let me read this to you. It's time to speak plainly for the good citizens and patriots of this nation who believe unbendingly in the Constitution of the United States of America. Though foreign governments may disarm their subjects, we will not go down that road. We will not disarm and see our freedoms stripped away. The lessons of history are numerous, clear, and bloody. A disarmed population inevitably becomes an enslaved population. A disarmed population is without power, reduced to childlike obedience to and dependent upon the organs of a parental state. A disarmed population will lose, either piecemeal or in one sweeping act, those basic rights for which the citizens of America risked their lives and fortunes over 200 years ago. We will not disarm. The right to self-protection, the internal directive of every living creature, be it mouse or man, is the most fundamental right of all. It is a right that must be exercised against all predators of the streets, against the predators hidden within agencies of law enforcement, and against the most dangerous predators of all, those to be found in government, whose insidious grasping for power is relentless and never-ending. We will not disarm. Not in the face of robbers, rapists, and murderers who prey upon our families and friends, nor in the face of police and bureau agents who would turn a blind eye to the Constitution, who would betray the birthright of our countrymen, nor in the face of politicians of the lowest order, those who ponder to their ignorant, the weak, the fearful, the naive, those indebted to the virulent strain of the rich, who insulate themselves from the dangers imposed upon the Americans and then preach disarmament. We will not surrender our handguns. We will not surrender our hunting arms, and we will not surrender our firearms of military pattern or military utility, nor the proper furnishings, nor the right to buy, to sell, or to manufacture such items. Firearms of military utility, which serve well and nobly in times of social disturbance as tools of defense for the law-abiding, serve also in the quiet role of prevention against both the criminal and the tyrannical. And armed citizenry, a well-regulated militia of the Second Amendment, properly armed with military firearms, is a powerful deterrent on both conscious and subconscious levels to those inclined towards governmental usurpations. An armed citizenry stands as a constant reminder to those in power that though they may violate our rights temporarily, they will not do so endlessly and without consequence. And should Americans again be confronted with the necessity of, may God forbid it, throwing off the chains of tyrannical and suffocating regime, firearms designed to answer that particular demands of warfare will provide the swiftest and most decisive means to this end. Any law which prohibits or limits a citizen's possession of firearms of military utility or the proper furnishings provides an open window through which a corrupt government will crawl to steal away the remainder of our firearms and our liberties. Any such law prohibits or limits a citizen's possession of firearms of military utility or their proper furnishings, being directly contrary to the letter and spirit of the Second Amendment, is inimical on the Constitution to the United States of America and to its citizens. Now today, we are witnessing the perilous times foreseen by the architects of the Constitution. There are times when our government is demanding, in the guise of measures of common good, the relinquishment of several rights guaranteed to the Americans in the Constitution, foremost among which is the right to keep and bear arms, is for our own defense. These are times when our government has abdicated its primary responsibility to provide for the security of its citizens. Swift and sure punishment of outlaws is absent, and in its place is offered the false remedy of disarming the law-abiding. Where this unconstitutional action has been given the force of law, it has failed to provide relief and has produced greater social disorder. The discord, in turn, now serves as the false basis for the demand that we give up other rights, and for the demand of more police, more agents of bureaucratic control to enforce the revocation of these rights. Legislators, judges, and law officers must bear in mind that the foundation of their duties is to uphold the fundamental law of the land, the Constitution. They must bear in mind that the unconstitutional act of disarming one's fellow citizens will also disarm one's parents, spouse, brothers, sisters, children, and children's children. There are good citizens who, taking heed of Benjamin Franklin's admission that those who would give up essential liberties to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety, will surrender not one of their rights. Those who eat away at our rights to own and use firearms are feeding on the roots of a plant over 2 centuries old, a plant whose blossom is the most free, most powerful nation ever to exist on this planet. The right to keep and bear arms is the taproot of this plant. All other rights were won at the point of a gun and will endure only at the point of a gun. Could they speak millions upon millions of words, dead souls would testify to this truth. Millions upon millions of the living can also testify today. Now, today, is a critical moment in our history. Will we Americans passively lie down before a government growing disdainful of its best citizens? Or will we again declare, we are the government, government functions at our behest, government may not rescind our sacred rights? We will place our faith in the public servants who have behaved as though they were our masters. Are we going to do that? Or are we to place our faith in the words and deeds of the daring, far-seeing men and women whose blood, sweat, and tears brought forth this great nation? Will we believe those who assure us that the police officer will shield us from the criminals? Or we believe our eyes and ears, presented every day with news of our unarmed neighbors falling prey in their homes, on the streets, and places of work and play? Will we bow our heads to cowards and fools who will not learn and do not understand the lessons of human history? Or will we stand straight and assume the daily tasks and risks that liberty entails? Will we ignore even the lessons of this present era, which has seen the cruel oppression of millions on the continents of Europe, Asia, Africa, and South America, and believe that the continent of North America is immune to such political disease? Or will we wisely accept the realities of this world, wisely listen to and make use of the precautions provided by our ancestors? Will we, deceived by shameless liars, who say that disarmed equals safety, helplessness equals strength, patriotism equals criminality? Or will we mark the word of our forefathers who wrote in plain language, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed? Let us make known, we will choose the latter option in every case. Legislators, do your duty to your country. Uphold the Constitution as you swore to do. Do not shame yourselves by knocking loose the mighty keystone of this great republic, the right to keep and bear arms. Read and study the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution you swore to support. Justices, do your duty to your country. Examine the origins of our rights to weaponry and uphold the letter and spirit of the Constitution. Read and study the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution you swore to support. Lawmen, do your duty to your country. Do not be misguided and misused. Your task is to serve and to protect, not to oppress, disarm, and to make helpless your countrymen. To the blind, the ignorant, the apathetic, the safe and sheltered, these may seem to be concerns of another age. They are not. They are as vital as they have ever been throughout history. For times may change, but human nature does not. And it is to protect forever against the evil in human nature that the Founding Fathers set aside certain rights as inviolable. For these reasons, we must now make known, we will not passively take the path that leads to the tyranny. We will not go down that road. We will not disarm.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, and welcome back, everyone. We have certain unalienable rights in this country that have been alienated and been trimmed down and reduced and legislated, and those legislative portions have been enforced, and people have gone to jail, people have gone to prison, they've been prosecuted and lost their livelihoods, been taken away from their families, lost their home, their property, everything, due to rights being violated. And that has got to come to an absolute, staunch, and abrupt end. A good portion of those reasons are regulatory law. Let me tell you how this works. Congress passes a law, the president signs it, and that would give a regulatory agency, a bureaucracy, a portion of the administration, something under the executive branch, the authority under that law to write regulation within the scope of the law that was passed. And that regulation can be changed and edited, essentially, willy-nilly. One organization that loves to do that is ATF. They love to change different regulations on how paperwork has to be handled, or how you've got to do certain timelines with one thing or another. It's not a law, but it is regulatory law. That is oftentimes referred to as the unconstitutional fourth branch of the government. We've got legislative, executive, judicial, and now we have regulatory. The Internal Revenue Service is the biggest abuser of regulatory law. They write all kinds of regulations which are contradictory to the actual laws that are out there, and we get hosed. Then what we end up with, I don't know if you know of any organizations out there that are pro-tax. There's a lot that are anti-tax, because the tax system that we've got in this country is an absolute total abuse. I would go so far as to estimate about 95, 97, 98% of all the American citizens right here in the U.S. are not legally obligated to have to pay anything to the government in the form of taxes on wages or income. However, you've got the IRS that have such a convoluted system to get you involved, and then all the regulatory law takes effect. My opinion is that regulatory law should be ruled unconstitutional. Absolutely unconstitutional, because it is. However, you don't have a bunch of groups, organizations, or individuals talking about pro-tax. Yay, pro-tax, pro-tax. They don't do it. You don't have any outside groups doing that. You got the government doing it, and you've got people who are mouthpieces for the government doing it, but you don't have these large organizations. Let's talk about the Second Amendment. You have pro-Second Amendment groups. I'm sorry, let's back up to the IRS, to the taxes. You have a number of individuals and groups. Dave Champion, who hosts the Dave Champion Show here on RBN, 3 o'clock Central, Monday through Friday, he is probably the nation's leading expert on the tax honesty movement. Listen to his show. Call him up. Learn about it. Read his book when it comes out. He's writing it now. But you don't have a lot of people saying pro-tax. You have a lot of people and organizations saying no tax because it's not legal. They just get you involved in the system, and then regulatory law takes over. When it comes to the Second Amendment, there are some 20,000 estimated gun laws within the United States. Now, it's an inalienable right. It even says in the Second Amendment, shall not be infringed. But there's 20,000 laws throughout the country, from local all up to all the way up to federal level, estimated, dealing with guns, on a right that is inalienable. They believe there's roughly 70,000 pages of the tax code. 70,000 pages. 20,000 gun laws. Yet, on the Second Amendment, you have pro-Second Amendment groups. Gun Owners of America, NRA, Second Amendment Foundation, JFPL. You got some organizations such as Women and Guns. But the other very interesting thing that you've got is you've got a number of organizations that are anti-Second Amendment. That would be like pro-taxes. You have anti-Second Amendment people. You've got the Brady Campaign to Stop Gun Violence, formerly known as Handgun Control Incorporated. All right? You've got, let's see, the Violence Policy Center. And all VPC is an organization, private organization, along with Brady, and their absolute end-run goal, they will not close up their doors and send their people off to do other things unless all of the guns in America are made illegal, and you cannot possess them legally. Once all the guns are taken away, they will then cease to exist. Even though they will actually have, for what their namesake is and what they claim to be, that is when the work will begin. Listen to this. It's a Brady campaign to stop gun violence. And the Violence Policy Center. What would happen if all of the guns were taken away? The only people who are going to turn them in are the law-abiding citizens. So all the law-abiding citizens turn in their guns. Or they're taken away, whatever it is. And you can't get any more. Only the criminals will have guns. These organizations, I flat guarantee it, would close up shop. Because they can't do anything about the actual criminals that are out there on the streets. And it'd already be illegal to own and possess and obviously shoot, carry, anything gun-related. But Brady and VPC would close up shop because they couldn't actually do anything about the criminals that were out there having guns. However, the violence with guns and gun crime would go through the roof. It would be like launching a missile straight up into space. It would be an absolute vertical climb at record pace of gun violence throughout the entire country. It would be vertical. But yet, these organizations wouldn't be able to do a damn thing about it. Because all they do is they work with the legislative and judicial areas of the law. They try to meddle in with the executive, but they can't really do much. But the legislative and judicial areas of the law, they try to meddle. They constantly do. They meddle constantly to try to get guns away from you and I. Now, I have never committed a crime with any of my guns. Never committed a crime. Anything I've ever done with my guns has always been legal. Never a crime committed. And I would imagine to say the vast majority of the tens of millions of people out there in America that own guns are in the exact same boat. But yet they want to prevent gun violence. However, if they took all of our legally owned and possessed guns away, they couldn't do anything because legislatively and judicially, it would have already happened. They would have already had all of the guns taken away from us. They would have already prevented any new guns from being manufactured or imported into this country. They would have already succeeded in keeping anybody from gaining new guns, so only criminals would have them. They'd already be breaking the law. So where would VPC and Brady actually be? What would they do if only illegal gun transactions and violence occurred? Nothing legal. What would they do? Nothing. They couldn't do anything because it's already illegal. We're going to pause right here as we head into the next break. We'll pick this back up as soon as we come back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
Everyone has heard the old adage, America, land of the free. But let's be honest, our freedom is slipping away. Our great-grandparents would be appalled at the freedoms we've lost in the last 60 years. America needs a revitalization of liberty. That's what our forefathers fought and died for. To find out more, please visit www.originalintent.org. And remember, America is also the home of the brave.
Hello, this is Bill Carnes of 2A Radio. We all expect our healthcare to be efficient, caring, and complete. We definitely expect our veterans to receive the same. Sometimes the VA fails to meet these standards, leaving some veterans behind. To fill this gap, veterans can turn to the Wounded Warriors Volunteer Association. The WWVA is a national network of doctors of all specialties that provide their services to Iraq and Afghanistan veterans free of charge. For more information, please visit wwva.us.
Have you determined that you do not owe federal or state income tax, but now you're just not sure what to do with that information? Are you wondering how to operate in the real world as a non-taxpayer? Are you unsure what to say to people when they ask for your Social Security number or taxpayer identification number? If so, go to www.nontaxpayer.org. Nontaxpayer.org does not provide services to taxpayers. Nontaxpayer.org. It's about time.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
And welcome back from the break, everyone. Continuing on where we left off the last segment. Do you really believe that the 20-some thousand anti-gun laws and regulations that are already on the books don't already keep the law-abiding citizens in order? Only the criminals don't follow them? Would you believe this? I would. I would believe that only criminals violate the law. I would agree that law-abiding citizens follow the law. Therefore, I don't know of any law that could be passed that would actually curb criminals from committing violence, with or without a gun, because they're criminals. They don't care what the laws are. When it comes to guns, they don't care where the guns come from. They don't care what the black market or what the white market is all about, whether it's above board and legal white market or below board, back alley, street dealing black market. They really don't care. They're going to get their guns the way they're going to get their guns, and they're going to do with them as they please. They'll carry them, they'll use them, they'll shoot people, they'll murder. It doesn't matter. Now, those people and the rest of us tuned in with this show are two completely different classes of human beings. You and I, we honor the law. Now, we may not like some of the laws, so we work to get those laws changed. Criminals don't care whether the law exists or not. They're just going to go do what they do. Because we have guns, and we keep them for self-protection and defensive purposes. And some criminals have guns, what they use oftentimes for offensive purposes, to go commit more crime. Just because there's the same object involved doesn't put us into the same category. We probably all wear shoes as well. But because the anti-gunners also wear shoes, they won't look at that as a similarity. They only look at the criminals have guns, the other people who have guns, the guns make it to where they can be criminals, and the gun is going to affect some sort of psychological Vulcan mind meld and make you a criminal, a homicidal maniac of some kind. That's their belief, which is obviously completely unfounded, but that's what they do. They like to lay out there these completely unfounded statements that have absolutely no backup to it and then leave it hanging. It's the way a lot of anti-gunners, certainly far-left liberals, like to argue. They like to throw out a statement with no backup whatsoever, as you're waiting for them to actually back their statement up, and you stand there scratching your head, how are you going to back that up? And they don't. Well, that's just my argument. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to tell you the way it is. And the way it is if all the guns were taken away from all the people, guns were outlawed in this country, only outlaws would have guns. I wouldn't even go so far as to say outlaws would have guns. I would go so far as to say criminals would have guns. And once only the criminals had guns, and all the legislative and judicial work was done, BPC and Brady would cease to exist, and the other organizations like them, they would cease to exist, because then it would be up to law enforcement to deal with it. So I've got to tell you, with the 20-some thousand laws and regulations already on the books right now in the U.S., only criminals are violating them. And all of the laws and regulations that are on the books right now, absolutely right now, nothing additional could be added to those laws or regulations which would prevent further violence with guns. Because all that violence is already happening. And no law is going to prevent it. It hasn't prevented it. It's not preventing it now. All you're doing is whatever act you're doing happens to be in violation of a law. Would you agree that all of the laws are on the books that would already make an illegal act illegal? An unjustified act illegal? A criminal act illegal? Would you agree? I would. So the people who aren't violating those laws are the law-abiding gun owners, which they say, and VPC, Brady, the groups that alike, that we're looking for sensible handgun laws and sensible handgun regulation. I've got to tell you, it's already there. Only the criminals are violating the law. So what I have been saying is if you take away all of our guns and the ability to get guns, only criminals would have them. Only criminals would still be violating the law. The violence would go up. The gun crimes would go up dramatically. But VPC, Brady, and the likes wouldn't be able to do anything. Now what we've got is essentially that only the law-abiding citizens are armed. So we've got the 20-some thousand laws and regulations. People are still violating the law. Nothing they can do about that because all the legislation, all the judicial work has been done. So what I would like to inform Brady, VPC, and groups of the like is this. All of the laws that are going to be followed are being followed. All of the people who are going to follow the laws are following the laws. And they are not out there doing anything to create crime or enhance crime or violence. We are already following laws. More laws isn't going to keep any of us from committing crimes that we are because there's not a law against it with a gun. You understand? Those laws are being committed by criminals. So the take-home message on this whole deal is VPC and Brady have done all they possibly can do when it comes to what they say their job is, what they say their reason for existence is, and that is to stop gun violence and pass, help legislatively and judicially pass and, enforce laws that are on the books to prevent gun violence. Well, they've done it because you can't do it. You can't remove all the guns from American society. It is an absolute impossibility. But all the people who are going to follow the laws are following the laws. The people who are not, aren't. And you can't pass a law to keep the gun out of their hand or for them doing something illegal with the guns. But an armed populace of law-abiding citizens can help prevent and reduce that level of crime, not by taking the guns away, but by giving the guns to the people, training them up, and letting them know what their duty as an armed citizen is. Therefore, I call on Brady, VPC, and other anti-gun organizations of the like to close their doors and close up shop, because you've got 20-plus thousand laws and regulations on the books. You've done your job. Now leave it up to law enforcement and the armed citizenry to handle. Your job is done here. If you truly are for the Second Amendment and not anti-Second Amendment, close up shop. because you're never going to get the Second Amendment removed off the books while we're here.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2ARadio.com.